And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. Don't fight the future, here comes Luka. Even losses feel like wins when you're with your good friend Tim. It's 77 minutes in heaven.
Hello, this is 77 Minutes, a Dallas Mavericks podcast, part of the Athletic Podcast Network, the only Mavericks podcast that watched tonight's Mavs game till the very final last second.
Don't lie to the people.
Well, here's the thing. I wanted to be absolutely sure that they did not find a way to lose that game. We had to wait until everybody was off the court just to be certain, you know?
That's the way
things have been going.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. I had a
side eye. After it hit 30, I was like, okay, I'm good. Yeah, I texted you. I was like, you know what, man? Let's go ahead and get this pod rolling in the fourth quarter.
Ricardo Pepi, let's go.
It's been a while,
I was watching the U.S. men's team.
But it's been a while since we've had a game like that, though, Tim, where it was over and we started texting, hey, let's, you know, maybe we can get this done a little bit earlier. Wow. After losing two games to Charlotte, even the shorthanded Pacers were a little bit scary, even with the league throwing out a technical foul. It was a little bit scary because the vibes have been so bad. So thankfully, they can beat what may have been, you know, one of the bottom three collections of talent any team has had available on a night this year. So great. I mean, that's good, right? Like, you get the win. It's awesome.
Yeah, you know, like, obviously, let's be honest about it, what it was. It, you know, second night of a back-to-back, but, you know, sort of, they had to travel in the middle.
Yeah, and they didn't play around.
More threes. They had everybody available except Maxi Kleber. They should have been doing this, you know, this is what they should do in games like this. This is what they should have done against the Charlotte Hornets two times in a row. You know, like that, like these are wins that do not change the optics of what is happening. The Mavericks, if the season ended today, would still not be in the play-in tournament. But you got to win. You got to go out and win that game. And they went out and won that game. And, you know, that's what matters. You know, for a one game, we're focusing on Indiana. We're very quickly not going to focus on this game any longer because there's only so much to say. But, yeah, you got to go get the W, and they did that.
Yep. That's it. That's it. Exactly. This is the bare minimum. You got a D.
Kyrie made shots.
That's great.
He hadn't been, and he did. Luka looked good. We'll talk a little bit more about him in a sec. I think the most interesting thing, you know, a couple players to focus on. JaVale McGee, what'd you think of that?
I mean,
like, looked semi-useful. I will say this. Out of all of the Jason Kidd coaching criticism, if JaVale McGee was a semi-useful player this entire time and he was not playing him, he isn't. I'm telling you.
Right.
But that would be in of itself a fireable offense.
Also, in his defense, Jason Kidd, if JaVale had been three quarters of as good as I thought he was going to be, which is totally fine, right? I thought he would just be fine. This team would have been better right up front, right at the start of the year. They would have been better. So things would have been different if JaVale was actually a player, but I don't know. There was one moment
he was coming up to set a screen, and I could just see it in his body language that he was about to commit a moving screen, and then he did. And it's just like that. That's been the whole thing. Like, I think, you know, it's just the mistakes per minute. Yeah. You know, and it's literally like one mistake per every minute played.
Got a 20% mistake rate.
Yeah, he's clearly still a very tall, athletic man, even at 35.
Yeah.
Even signed for three more years, he'll probably be an athletic man by the end of it. It's everything else, you know, and it's, you know, and it's, here's the thing, you know, I wrote a story today, you know, it published this morning, Monday morning, on The Athletic, if you haven't seen it, or if you're not a subscriber, theathletic.com/77minutes. Let me say that again with proper clarity. Theathletic.com/77minutes. I believe we have a $1 per month offer going on right now.
Yeah.
So if you've been listening for a while, yeah, I'm going to plug this. Yeah, go read my work too. You know, I write better than I speak, which isn't saying much.
And if you're already a subscriber, thank you.
Right. The whole piece was about how all of the mistakes this season, all of the things that are going wrong, all of the problems were stuff we predicted and talked about before the season. We were both much more optimistic than how the season has gone.
Well,
most
we tend
people
to
were,
go that way, right? Like, I mean, it's better, in my opinion, to go that way.
You know?
Yeah. I don't want to say, well, if everything goes wrong, even things we can't predict, man, they could be a game out of the play-in with, you know, 2 weeks left in the season.
But JaVale not fitting the defensive scheme was something I literally wrote before the season ever started. You know, it was possible. And, you know, maybe age-related decline. A bunch of things, as I was going back and reading this article, and I quoted some of it in the story I did, not to gas myself up, but to make a point that these are not things that we're only looking back in hindsight and like, oh, we should have known better. If me, you know, bozo writer for The Athletic can see these possibilities, and the coaching staff better be damn sure that they can see it too. And yet they didn't, or they ignored it, or they didn't listen to the people who were, you know, providing those warnings. So anyway, I don't want to get too down. Actually, it doesn't matter. You know, like, this is not a win. This is not a feel good win. It's a, you better have got this win.
A scheduled win, even though it was a back to back. I mean, you know, Pacers are bad. They should win this game.
Yeah.
They should have won the two games against Charlotte.
Yeah. Because the Mavs have been bad, I would think at this point just play JaVale McGee a little bit more and see if, you know, maybe not good player can help your definitely not that good team right now. And so, you know, it's I'm not expecting
fine.
Much.
It was fine. Yeah, it was fine.
Jaden Hardy, on the other hand, man does not miss threes anymore.
Should he be in the playoff rotation if they make it?
I mean,
I just don't under, like, he should basically be, I mean, first guard off the bench, maybe.
I think so.
I mean,
dude.
Unless Josh Green didn't start, it's him. Right. I guess, you know, their guard rotation should be obviously Kyrie and Luka, but Josh Green, Jaden Hardy, Tim Hardaway. That's it. Like, that's their guys.
I think the
like,
real
Ntilikina
question
is basically those minutes are wasted.
Yeah, I think the big question for me is, like, is Jaden Hardy especially when Tim Hardaway Jr. is not playing well, which he often, you know, he is a very hot and cold player. Like, Jaden Hardy is a like-for-like replacement. Not quite the volume shooter, but
with
pretty,
his off
pretty
the,
fearless in getting him up. Yeah,
his off-the-dribble stuff, I think, kind of makes up for that. Willing shooter is super important, right? Like, you need guys who are makers, especially around Luka, but willing shooter is important, but he's shown to be a maker. I mean, we're going to talk about this ridiculous pass, but, you know, I mean, guy stuck that shot, right? I mean, the reason that pass is going to stand out forever is because he stuck that shot. Like, that's just how it works. So, I mean, I've been a believer in him since he was in the G League. You know, I thought he was going to be this sort of player, you know. Every time he does something like a dunk in traffic, and our group chat starts popping, and those sorts of players, I mean, I think he's a drink stirrer in the NBA. Like, I really do. His body is great. He's an athlete. And defensively, what he lacks in, I'm not going to say feel, because he's a, you know, young players just are bad, especially guards. I think he pays attention and he's working hard. So, you know, that's the sort of guy that you want to reward with more playing time, but in particular because he's playing so well. I mean, he's been really good. And, you know, in those games when Luka was out and when Kyrie was out, he stepped up big time. And it just seems like, you know, it's hard for players, whether they're a young player or have been in the league forever, to get into a routine if they're not routinely in the rotation. You know, the guy doesn't really have a role, which credit to him for being so aggressive and staying aggressive, even when his minutes, you know, go up and down. I mean, this is, I don't know. I think that guy's, I think he's going to be a good player. I mean, he's a starting guard next to Luka next year anyway, because, you know, that situation is going to be different. And you're, you know, going to have issues finding someone else. So, you know, the guy in house is probably going to be the guy who plays. But
you,
I mean,
you're saying that, Dave. I'm not saying that. But
This is I'm saying if the inevitable happens,
read into what you're saying for sure. And
if the inevitable happens, yes, that is not. There's no reporting there. This is me saying. You know, if this is
a podcast that talks about reporting. I just like to make things clear.
Honestly, it's super important, and I'm glad you cleared that up because we don't want anyone getting aggregated for this. This is just me slinging stuff out there because I mean, if he needs to be in the starting lineup next year, I think he is the guy that naturally, you know, sort of fits. I mean, he's pretty good, man. I think he needs more opportunities. Like especially in games, you know, in a blowout. Oh, get a big lead. That's the guy to throw out there. Let him close it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah. And his emergence and Josh Green playing really well this season broadly, even if he's been slumping a bit of late, it really does put the Mavericks in a different situation going forward. Let's get to that all at the end when we're going to talk a little bit broader. Right now, let's talk about Jaden Hardy hitting the most important shot of his life, which was that corner three when Luka passed him. Because if he missed that, It would have been crime. It would have been a crime to ruin a highlight like that. So shout out to Jaden Hardy. He had a pressure moment and he stepped up to it. What a pass though. Come on now.
I don't even
know. All the way in the corner, two guys. Luka jumps
behind
up.
The backboard.
He's behind the backboard and just lasers it, not in the vicinity of Jaden. Like, into his shooting pocket.
Right into his shooting pocket. It's a perfect pass. And, I mean, it's not often guys can catch a straight line pass from that part of the court. I've never seen someone throw it underneath the rim like that from behind the backboard jumping out of bounds. I mean, that was, the only guy I think we've even seen come close to stuff like that is LeBron. You know, LeBron has thrown passes that are similar. Never one that, you know, I think we're going to need to see the ball tracking data. Like, I need to see the flight path of this.
Right.
Because it's that crazy of a pass. I'm not sure
LeBron
how.
LeBron saw it and quote tweeted and said something like this is this is insane, you know, whatever he said. But like, if you impress LeBron with a pass, you know, you're doing something right.
It may be the greatest pass in NBA history. Time and score, I think, matters a lot for moments like that. But if we're just like isolating individual athletic achievements as moments, that pass, I've never seen anything like it. It is for sure a unique, like a one time. Who the hell could even do that?
So
to be double teamed, being double teamed behind the backboard, that is impossible.
People are going to hear what you said and think that you're being hyperbolic. Let me add one qualifier. I think that might be one of the most physically impressive passes. Physically impressive.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In NBA history.
Right.
And personally, look, I love cool passes of any variety, but the ones that really jump out to me are the ones that the physics just don't make sense on. I really love ones like that. Like, I think it is very cool that Luka can drive into the lane and then just like, whoop-de-doo, there's a pass behind my head, yeah, and it's going right to a shooter. That's cool. That's fun. It's unique, but it's not impressive in the way that that is impressive. The torque that he contorts, like, basically he brings both arms, or like brings the arm, and like he's using core power for this. You can probably talk about this better than me, but the way that the torque of,
well,
of
then,
the,
here's
of
the thing.
Twist.
He like, jumps. He, from a yeah. standstill where he's off balance. That's the thing that actually, I mean, the beginning
well, and
of
he's
this.
Not off balance. Anybody should be, but I have a feeling that, like, in Luka terms, he is.
He's sort of bent over. We'll just say he's sort right. of bent over, right? Like, he's sort of
bent
over.
He looks a bit off balance, but I, you know, like, that's one of Luka's physical superpowers is that yeah. he's just perfectly.
I mean,
you know,
he's
his
strong.
Balance is,
that's the thing. It's like that. He's incredibly strong. And I think that's that translates in that sort of pass. I mean, you know, the only way you pull that off is incredible core strength. And yeah, so he's bent over a little bit. I'm watching it right now. Bent over a little bit, double teamed, kind of being forced out of bounds, and jumps and just kind of hums this pass like sidearm, almost three quarters, like he's pitching a baseball, but sidearm. And it's a perfectly catchable ball into Jaden Hardy's shooting pocket. I mean, it's just. Yeah, it's impossible.
Well, while you have the video up, there's one pacer yeah. under the rim, I believe. Does that pass go behind them, yeah. ahead of them? Like,
so TJ McConnell was under the rim, and then he comes over, rotates over, and then there's another player who drops down behind Josh Green, and it just goes over his hands. He reaches for it and just doesn't hit it. I mean,
and that's one of those ones where the reaction, your reaction speed on that is going to be slowed because you're not thinking anybody can,
right.
you're not anticipating that whatsoever.
I've never seen someone try to throw a cross court pass out of a coffin corner double team. That he was in the corner. He was like, he actually wasn't even in the dunker spot. He was in the corner. I mean, this is like when you're teaching defense, this is where you want your guys to trap because the out of bounds line is extra defender. So he was essentially being quadruple teamed. Right. He had nowhere to go, and he jumps out of bounds toward the front row, like camera row. It's an absolutely breathtaking pass. I mean, I scared my dog because it was, I mean, I thought the play was over. This is the sort of play where even Luka, like, I think typically would jump up, bounce it off the guy's leg. He was stuck.
Yeah.
Maybe you call a timeout, but yeah, it was. That, now, 5 years from now, this is just going to be a pass that guys are throwing. I mean, I'm just convinced now.
So,
there is
so,
no limit to. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, Tim, you weren't supposed to jump and pass. You weren't supposed to jump without a destination. So you weren't supposed to leave your feet and not know what you're going to. I mean, everything has changed so much. This pass right here is. I mean, it's broken my brain a little bit. It's,
hey,
it's
I had
insane.
High school coaches tell me that too. It's you know, it's at least at you know that low level of basketball. Yeah, you know, everybody gets told
it was that at a
know,
high
don't,
level
don't,
until
don't leave
until
your feet.
Not that long ago. I'm saying
that's
that,
right.
But it has yeah. changed, and it's I mean, it obviously it's changed a lot. I mean, something that I talk about constantly with Seth and Mo, and but this pass, I mean, man, wow, crazy.
And so,
crazy.
And so here's
you can't
the thing.
Even help off. You can't even help off the weak side when he's trapped in the corner. Sorry.
Pacer should have known better. Sorry. So here's the thing. When Luka's on the court, he can do stuff like that. Even though he looked better. He looked more himself. Whatever he's
Calf
dealing with.
It looked great on that one.
Yeah. It might be stuff that is it's good to get away from Dallas for a bit. I think that, you know, and that kind of leads to the big question. Like, even in the second Charlotte loss, Luka had 40, and he did not look right that game. He did not have a bad 40-point game. But all of a sudden in the second quarter, he's just like, I'm going to become a runoff pin downs and hit catch and shoot threes guy. Like, when you have a superstar as good as Luka Doncic, he's just going to do stuff like that. He's just going to make passes. He's just going to hit, you know, threes when he's like, you know, two of his last 25. He is that good of a player. We all know this. And when he's on the court, the Mavericks have a chance to win. They should have been winning more. But when he's on the court and when he's playing well, he certainly was playing well on Monday night, they have a chance to win. Now, we know that this team still has a lot of problems and that, you know, the best case scenario is a play-in tournament appearance that, you know, probably, even if they win it, probably sets them up with the Denver Nuggets in the first round. A lot of people. We haven't talked since whenever we last talked. A lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people online are really looking at the idea of, like, would it be better? Not are the Mavericks going to tank, but would it be better? Would it set them up better for the long term? And I'm curious to hear your thoughts because it's not going to happen. But I think there's a real argument in this direction.
What's the protection on the Knicks pick?
Top 10. So, like, yeah. That's why you would. Yeah. It's not just this is a not great team that's just going to keep losing games. They're going to keep losing games.
Yeah.
What the fear is that they're going to lose some against the good teams. They're going to win some against the bad teams, just like they did on Monday night. And it's going to put them either like the last play-in spot or, God forbid, one spot out of it, so that they're maybe giving up an 11th or 12th pick to the New York Knicks because it doesn't fall in that top 10 protection. That's the other thing. If the protections on the pick was lottery,
yeah,
I think I would say, let's not talk about that. The team should go for it. And if they're not good enough, then, you know, you get something back for it. But top 10, that's rough. Like,
yeah, I mean, especially in a decent draft.
And as we all know, everybody says this, but it's worth saying again, players don't tank.
Right.
And so what it would take is that Luka is in a weird funk state and
or not healthy. Which, honestly,
it's all of that stuff. I was including that in weird funk state. Kyrie isn't healthy. You shut those two down, and then you change around the rotations, and you could probably lose enough games to get, like, almost make sure that pick stays with you. And then all of a sudden, you're going into an offseason where there is a path. Whether Kyrie comes, well, I think it's important to not lose the value of a player like Kyrie. Whether that's the right decision for the team to make, if they're committed to re-signing him and they think that they have a chance to, you know, if they re-sign him, whether that's the right basket for all the eggs of the Mavs' future to go into, it starts to make sense how you build the team around it, because now you have Jaden Hardy, who you'd like to keep, but maybe he's, you know, the centerpiece of a trade for, you know, ideally a top 40 player, a top 50 player. If you add some stuff in there,
yeah, better someone, add some stuff in there.
Yeah, you'd have to add some stuff in there, but, you know, if you have a first rounder now,
right?
This year's first rounder, not one of those far off ones where maybe the team's better.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f-ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, I'm taking a
right
look
now.
Here.
You have one.
I'm taking a look at the standings, just trying to see, you know, what would have to happen for the Mavs to actually be top 10. They really, yeah,
let's talk about this in realistic terms.
Yeah. They're a game up on Chicago right now. And Chicago,
and they play Chicago.
So Chicago is
playing well.
Yeah. Chicago's been playing better here lately. They beat the Lakers the other day. I mean, you know, they're not the team that they expected to be, but they've been playing better. I mean, that's a game that they realistically could lose. I mean, it's really that close. It's only one game that separates these two teams. So, but realistically, I think that if you were actually going to do it, you would want Utah to jump you in the standings. So, you know, just to give yourself a little bit of a buffer, because, you know, Chicago is 36-38 and the Mavs are 37-39 as we're recording this. I would, if you were going to tank, like, you basically have to do it now because you're running out of time. It would be pretty easy to finish with a worse record than Chicago, but I think Utah at this point, you know, they're also trying to get a good draft pick.
I mean, six games left. Yeah, you have to tank. You know, if they're actually committing, they would tank.
Probably should have done it tonight.
Right. Exactly. And so it's not going to happen. And I get why it's not going to happen. I get that, you know, if Luka Doncic wants to be on the court, you can't go tell him, you know, that is probably the real reason why. If Luka Doncic wants to be out there, even if he looks miserable, I assume he wants to be out there. This is his life. This is what he does. I assume he wants to be out there. And if you tell him, no, we're going to shut you down. Yeah, that's not how you keep Luka in Dallas forever. I mean, maybe it's just hard, you know, and it's a team full of veterans and, you know, it's, you know, I'm sure they still have beliefs. They can, well, at this point, those beliefs may be slipping, but you know, that they can be a decent postseason team. They're just in the conference finals. Although this roster is way different. That's a point I made. Yeah. Like we talk about, you know, they're in the conference now after the Kyrie trade, four of the top 10 players, who've gotten minutes this year, only four of them were role players, you know, like in the rotation players in the postseason. So it's changed. And that's a big reason why they are worse and not the team that they were. But I think that would be the best way for, you know, so the one flip side I'll offer to tanking, not tanking, if you do send the pick, you have two picks available, their future picks.
Right.
I think the idea of tanking would be to go draft a player, to go get a player. You're not leveraging it, right? You want to go get a young player. Luka's still young. Josh Green, Jaden Hardy. You want to, you know, you want someone to build with, even if that means you're not going to be title contenders next year. If they convey the pick, now you have two future first rounders that you're looking to package and trade for something. To me, that's the kind of the delineation. And, you know, maybe if they keep their own pick, you know, maybe they're not even trying to and they end up doing it. That is still a very real possibility. You know, maybe they do trade it, you know, and I would be okay with, but I think intentionally choosing to do this, which they're not. So it's just a hypothetical question. That's kind of the scenario that it would make the most sense. So six games left. This thing's almost over. Six, and then we'll see how many more.
It could be over in six games, but maybe seven.
Yeah.
Feels like no more than eight.
I mean, if it's not eight, then it's what? 12?
Definitely no more than eight. I think that, listen, at this point, one game, like you got to win one game. I just don't know if they've got, I don't know if they've got the guys to do it.
Beat the Lakers and then beat the, hopefully not the Timberwolves. They're
hopefully
playing
not
well.
The Lakers.
You know, yeah. Pelicans look bouncy. They keep saying Zion might come back. They're, you know, just like the Mavericks season is running out of time to be fixed. The Pelicans are running out of time to actually bring back Zion, but they keep saying it. So all of a sudden he shows up. Man. I'm glad the Mavericks did what they needed to do, and that we could have a not totally downtrodden, downbeat episode. Shout out. I have a ending shout out, and shout out to all the weekend podcasters who really had to bear the brunt of the two worst losses I've seen the Mavericks have in a long time, in years, in many seasons. Shout out to those weekend podcasters who soldiered on and said, we're going to talk about something that is barely talkable about. Because what do you say? And so, all of y'all out there, you did a hell of a job. We're taking the baton. I'm sure they're all recording tonight anyway. But we're taking the baton. We picked up the slightly better vibes that really still aren't all that good. And we appreciate your work. On that note, thank you. We'll see ya.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. Don't fight the future. Here comes Luca. Even losses feel like wins when you're with your good friend Tim. It's 77 minutes in heaven.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.